Our scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs. It's another collection of Proverbs on the topic of lying, and you can find it in your bulletin. It's in the foyer if you don't have one. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will perish. What a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. A corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. It is no good, it's no good, says the buyer, then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Gold there is and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. It is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve? Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? Do not say, I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
About 13 years ago, maybe, I don't know the exact time, but a number of years ago, we'll say, when I was working here at the church, and so was Steve. Pastor Steve was the youth pastor at the time. I don't know the exact date, but many, many moons ago. He was a youth pastor here, and they were out at something we used to call Sing and Share. It was a youth event. They would go and play music and pray together as a youth group. After that event, they were coming home, and he lives right next to the church at the time and now, and he had some young adults that were going to be coming over to the church to hang out after that. Youth event was done, friends come over, young adults hang out, and as one of our young adults was driving by the church, who was also a very responsible young lady, looked in and saw that lights were on in the church, and so she was like, hey Steve, can you go and check why the lights are on at the church, if anybody's there? And so Steve came over. And he found me there, and I was playing some ping pong with another friend here at the church, down in the basement, and we were playing ping pong back and forth, and so everything was fine. But Trish, the friend, called Steve on the phone to make sure that everything was okay, because she was worried why lights were on and all those kind of things. And as she called Steve, pretty simple, you know, all he had to do was pick up and say, yeah, Aaron's here, Brad's here, they're just playing some ping pong, everything's good. But in that exact moment, I had this brilliant idea that I decided to play a joke. And so instead of letting Steve pick up the phone, I stole the phone from Steve. And I grabbed the phone, and maybe inspired by some suspense and horror films from Hollywood, I grabbed the phone, and then speaking into the phone, said,
"Why did you send someone to check on me?"
And then hung up the phone, or something along those lines. And which was great. Hung up the phone, all is good, funny joke. She called back pretty soon after, like, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And I took the phone from him again, and breathed heavy. Click. Okay. She might have called again. I don't know. It's kind of a blur. But what she did then was call my other friend, because she knew that Brad was there or figured that out. Maybe his car was outside, and she figured that out. And she called Brad. And I did the same thing to Brad's phone. And now, the joke was still funny in my mind. Except what happened at that moment is I thought it was all good. She was actually now at the church ready to hang out at Steve's house. But instead of laughing, she was actually possibly crying and very, very, very concerned that something had happened to Steve. Maybe a crazy man had, I don't know, killed her in the church, killed him in the church. I'm not really sure. But she thought something had happened. So in that moment, what she did is she called her dad, who happened to be the senior pastor at the time, and said, "I think something's happened to Steve. There's somebody in the church." And that was great. And you see, what he did is one of his best friends was Gary. And Gary was one of the top police officers in Toronto and used to be head of the homicide unit and went down to the States for a bit, worked with the CIA post-September 11th, deployed with them, doing counterterrorism things, worked for CSIS, all right? Like, you know, he knows what he's doing. And so Pastor John called him, and in the midst of realizing that there was these phone calls going on, I'm trying to call Gary and John and be like, "I'm sorry. It was all a misunderstanding. This was not supposed to happen." And at the end of the day, there were some apologies that had to be said and made. And luckily, if you know Gary, Gary is quite the jokester, and he thought it was funny. But I had hurt Trish and broke her trust, and probably John's as well in that moment, and needed to apologize. And you know, that story reminds me of Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18 and 19, and it says this: "Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who deceives their neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" And so as we get into the book of Proverbs today, we hear this idea of sometimes we lie and we do these things like I did. I told a story, I thought it was a joke, threw out some flaming arrows. I didn't expect it to go the way that it did, but it did. And what Scripture reminds us of in what Proverbs teaches us is that deception is never a joke, that deception isn't safe, and that it does leave a wake of fire in our lives. And our big idea that we're going to see here in this passage as we look today or at these Proverbs is that deceit, so any lies or, you know, anything like that, lies, exaggerations, deceit is the native tongue of fools. But truth is the enduring foundation of the wise. Now, why haven't I just said that lying is bad? Okay? Well, the big idea is that deceit is the native tongue of fools. And as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, we've been honing in on a few things. We've been talking about wise living, right? That's the overall idea, that we've been going to Proverbs to learn about how to live wisely. And we've been defining wisdom not just as something intellectual and some knowledge about being smart, but we've said that it's the practical ability to live virtuously and skillfully in the world according to God's ways. And that's the key. It's about living virtuously and skillfully in the world according to God's ways. And so what we're going to see is that if we're speaking deceit, Proverbs talks about the way of the wise and the way of the fool. And all the passages that you have heard read so far, they remind us and they tell us that deceit and lying and exaggeration, all of these things, those are the marks of a fool. That's the foundation of it. But the truth is But truth is the enduring foundation of the wise. And so we want to be people who live virtuously and skillfully in the world according to God's ways. So as we get into this, let's look and see the foundation for being wise. And the foundation for being wise, maybe you've thought before, you know, why is lying even bad? Have you wondered that? You know, there's different answers to that. If we went down to children's ministry right now and we asked some of the kids, why is lying bad? You know, some of them might say, well, because my mommy will put me in a timeout, right? That's why lying is bad. I will get punished. There's a rule. I break that rule and I go there. You've heard the story, the children's story, the boy who cried wolf, that kind of fable, which is talking about if you go and you keep lying to people, eventually they won't believe you, but you'll need their help, right? And so they then won't be there when you need them. Therefore, don't lie. You see, when we're kids, and even now maybe, we often consider lying bad because it gets us in trouble. Maybe it hurts our reputation. Maybe it breaks harmony with the relationships and in the world that we live. That's one of the ways that we sometimes think about why lying is bad. Other times, we think about it as we kind of grow up and in the adult world, like our world functions on truth, right? If you've ever looked at an apartment ad or really any product, online dating, you know that if you have ever looked at something and what is written there, if it is not true, you're like, what? It kind of is the foundation of how we operate in our world. Our society, which is transactional by nature, when you go to the store, when you do these different things, there needs to be truth. And, you know, you can't just put on your resume something that's entirely fictional. You know, under oath in the court of law, you can't just make up these excuses. Doing these things will wreck the foundation of how the world functions. But what that means is that oftentimes why it's bad to go against those things, or why we think that, is if we don't go along with these truths, that it will essentially damage the bottom line or disrupt productivity in our lives, or it'll wreck some kind of unwritten social rules. So we still kind of look at it as the results are bad eventually. But as we go through Proverbs points to a bigger reason of why we are to tell the truth, why we are to be people that speak truth all the time. And that is that the foundation of the wise is that God's character is absolute truth. That the foundation of why we need to speak the truth and as our native tongue is that God is truth. That is his character. And if we want to live wisely and represent him, we have to live out that truth. If we don't, then we're going against the grain of who God is, of what the base of all wisdom is. Scripture reminds us of this, that God's character is absolute truth. When we look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And what we see here is it contrasts right away that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should change his mind. He does what he says. Scripture reminds us that he cannot lie. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Just reminding us there that God cannot lie. And Proverbs 8, which we've already studied, verse 7 and 8 says, my mouth speaks what is true. This is talking about wisdom, wisdom personified, which is talking about God as wisdom. It says, my mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. And so all of God's words are straight and true. We know this. Jesus, in John chapter 14, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In that, Jesus isn't saying that I teach truth. He says, I am truth, and all of his ways are truth. And so many of us in here know this. We know that God's character is absolute truth, but we might not have made that connection before, that the reason we're called to tell the truth is not because, you know, we might get caught. Because if we think that that's the only reason, if we don't think we're going to get caught, then we lie. Right? Unless we see lying at the base, at the very foundation, that it is against God and his ways that he has called us to live, then we're not going to change if we think we can get away with it. Or if we think that there's a benefit for us, like lying on our taxes, or, you know, coming across the border and saying, I'm not declaring anything, that way I don't have to pay taxes on what I've just brought. There are so many ways that we can be deceitful. But if at the base of all of that, we remember that God and his character is absolute truth, and we want to reflect that, then it changes the starting point of why we speak the truth, why we are honest, and why we live it out. Because we don't want to be people, as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, who are fools, where deceit is our native tongue. We want to be people where truth is. And that's the enduring foundation of the wise. And we're going to see that as we continue on. The next part as we continue to look at this is that the heart of the fool is this. Why do we choose to live by deceit? First, we've already seen that God's character is absolute truth. And what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, if you're following along or in the bulletin, or you can open your Bibles, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, it says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. We studied this passage, but what's interesting here is that it says, or what do I want to highlight is that God says these things are detestable. That's like one of the strongest words that can be used in Hebrew. It's not like, yeah, God doesn't like these. It's that these things are detestable to him. And within this list of seven things, usually when there's a list where it says six or seven things or whatever it highlights, and you're like, so how does that work? It just is really highlighting the last one. But of these seven things, two of them talk about a lying tongue and a false witness. So our lies and our honesty. And so God, as the foundation, because his character is absolute truth, he lies, he hates, detests lying. But why then do we lie? Why do we lie in this world if we know that it goes against God's character? Well, obviously it means that we're living foolishly in that moment. It's one thing. But let's look at some scripture. Proverbs chapter 14 says this, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. I'm going to read that one more time. Why do we lie? Sometimes, Proverbs 14 says this, even in laughter, my heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. Now, you might think, what is this even saying? What's it talking about? What it's talking about is us kind of trying to cover over something. Even in laughter, my heart may ache. I might say, like somebody maybe greeted you this morning out there in the front foyer, how are you today? And you said, I'm excellent. And you're like, I am not excellent at all. My life is falling apart. Things are not good. There is, you know, sin in my life, or, you know, I'm just really tired, or whatever it is. And we cover over something. We cover over grief. We cover over shame. We cover over these things. And even in laughter, it says, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. And so we lie, but at the end of the day, because we haven't told the truth, we haven't walked into the joy of being known by other believers. We haven't brought something that is weighing us down. We haven't brought something of that we need addressed, that God is maybe even poking in our hearts. And so at the end, it leads to grief. Now, if you've been following our sermon series on Proverbs, this is a pretty easy question, but the life of folly always ends in death, despair, right? This is how it goes every single time. So if the native tongue of is lying, when we lie, it ends in pain, it ends in suffering. Ultimately, you know, we end in death if we are people that are live out this way of folly. And so God doesn't want us to do that. Why else might we lie? Well, Proverbs 19:28 says, a corrupt witness
mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. You know, we here, it's simply, we lie sometimes to escape justice and consequences, right? We've seen that. That's kind of what children do, but we do the same thing. You get pulled over for speeding. I wasn't speeding. You know, I didn't do it. Or we try to plead our case maybe at work. In whatever situation you can think of, you know, it says, though, that the corrupt witness mocks at justice. We know that God is just. His character is that. So when we try to be dishonest, when we try to lie, we are sitting at the very foundation of that. We are taking out the foundation of God's truth, and we are not living it out. Another one, as Scripture talks about in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25, it says, "It is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows." You know, this one is interesting. It's talking about how we, you might not even consider this lying. I know as I was working through these passages, I was convicted by this verse in particular, where it talks about, I'll read it again, "It is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows." It's the idea of just spouting off our mouth and saying, "Yes, I can do that. Sure, I can help you with that. Yeah, that's not a problem." It's us overcommitting, us saying, "Absolutely, I'm going to do that and everything is going to be fine," and then never following through, never realizing the consequences of that. And so what happens is we give a rash promise, but we don't fulfill it, and we become a liar. And so we need to consider that as well in our own lives. Do we keep our word? Do we commit to things that we're not able to fulfill? And why do we do that? Other reasons why we might lie is to exert revenge, to get revenge and justice. It says in Proverbs 24, 28, 29, "Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? Do not say, 'I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did.'" You know, we sometimes like to do this. Maybe we're not going to go and hurt them, but we might gossip behind their backs. We might use weapons to defeat them. We might make up stories or slander them or even, you know, yell at them when they're there. But we use, in essence, we use our vigilant anti-justice. We want to take things into our own hands when we've been wronged. And so we try to right that wrong with our words. And we do that in lots of different ways. And so this is what Scripture reminds us and tells us in Proverbs. And so as we consider these things and we look at why do we lie, when we get to the root of it, though, the root of it all, though, is not that just that we want our way, but there is this pride that is deep within us. And Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9, is this profound prayer towards the end of Proverbs, which we will study more in depth. So we'll just briefly talk about it today. But this is what it says: "Two things I ask of you." And so this is two things I ask of the Lord. "Lord, do not refuse me before I die," these two things. Now, you know, God doesn't give us Aladdin's magic lamp here, but if you could ask two things of the Lord, what would those be? And this is what Proverbs puts at the top of the list of, if I were to be able to ask the Lord two things that he wouldn't refuse me before I died, consider, would you have either of these on your list? He says this: "Remove far from me falsehood and lying." That's the first thing that he chooses. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Because the teacher in Proverbs, as they are telling us, we just think lying is kind of casual a lot of the time. And Proverbs and the teacher realizes it is by no means casual. It is the actual foundation of where your character is lived out from every single day in all of the words that you speak. And so these two things I ask: remove far from me falsehood and lying. And this is the second: give me neither poverty nor riches. Again, I don't think I'm not going to preach this because we're going to preach it later. but that's a great one. I don't think we ask God for that. Kind of give me the middle of the road, it says. Give me only my daily bread, only my daily bread. I think many of us have fridges and freezers that are filled with stuff. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so profane the name of God. And so there's this link between having too much and profaning the name of God. When it comes to lying and this falsehood, it says, put this off and don't give me too much. And the idea here is that when we lie, oftentimes at the root of it, is that we think that God hasn't done us a solid, that God hasn't given us a good lot in life. And so we're going to take it into our own hands to try to even the score. That if there's something that's not great in our bank account, we go, that's not very good there, and we go to the bank machine, and somebody left their money in the bank machine, and we go, oh, I guess God's evening that score, right? Like, I've got a little bit of money, I can do that. There are lots of different ways, but at the root of that, it's pride, and also this idea that we don't trust that God is going to provide for us in that situation. And so we think we need to lie or be dishonest to get out of it, instead of accepting where it is, speaking the truth, trusting that God will provide or that he will change our heart to be okay with our situation. And so oftentimes we do. We lie to control what is going on in our own lives, but also in the world around us. But what we know to be true, because Proverbs consistently tells us, is that if we live the way of a fool, it is but a mist and a vapor. It is only there briefly. It's like building a house of cards or a house on the sand, and eventually it will absolutely fall. It might be a day, it might be a week, might be at the end of your life, but it will not stand. You know this to be true. If you've ever been caught in a lie, you told a lie, and then you have to tell another lie, and another lie, and another lie, and another lie, until you can't remember the lies, and it all comes crashing down. Right? This happens. And I think one of my children's friends did this recently. They were telling this long lie. I don't know if it started an April Fool's joke or what it was. And they shared that they were taking figure skating lessons, which wasn't even okay, cool. And shared this with their group of friends. But they just kept saying it, and they would make it up like, oh yeah, I'm taking figure skating lessons, that's why I can't hang out tonight. And, it just became this running lie that this person was sharing. And eventually her parents found out, and she got in a lot of trouble. And there was no point in the lie. She received nothing from it, but couldn't backpedal out of that truth, or out of that lie and this falsehood. And eventually it comes down. And so what do we know about this? What does lying do? What does lying do is it leads us, it gives us this idea of momentary figuring things out. It makes us think that we have got everything under control. But Proverbs tells us, as I said, it's like building your life and your house on a sinkhole, okay? Once it goes, eventually it's going to all go down. But in our big idea, if we live by the way of truth, it is an enduring foundation. It's not a sinkhole, it's not a vapor, it's something that will last forever. That's what Proverbs promises us. It says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 9, it invites us to the table of wisdom and says, come and dine, and then the table of folly is there as well and says, come and dine at the table of folly. And in both of those, it says, to the unlearned, come. And there is this invitation. And so the teacher in Proverbs is persuading us to say, build a foundation that will last. And what does lying do? Well, Scripture tells us this. I've already shared the one passage where it's like shooting arrows into the community. It wrecks the community. It hurts the community. We see that also in Proverbs 25:18, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who bears false witness against their neighbor. Lying, what does it do? It wrecks community. It hurts people relationally. We know that people lie and steal and lie in their marriages, and this ruins marital intimacy. Our relational health in the church as we lie, it wrecks church unity, because it wrecks at the base of that this currency or this idea of trust between relationships. And if we don't have trust within all of the different relationships of our lives, we're in trouble, right? The foundation of that, there is, it just breaks down, and we see that with lies. If your boss tells you they're going to pay you, and come payday, you go to your bank account and there's no money there, you are quickly going to go, wait, what just happened? You lied to me. Like, that's not right. And you will see that right away. And that's the obviousness of our lies, is that eventually they will fall apart. What we also see in Proverbs 21:6, it says this, in relation to this fleeting illusion of lying. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Or Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. What Proverbs teaches us is that deceit has a built-in expiration date. You can lie on a job interview, you can lie online, you can lie in your taxes, but eventually, because it's a fleeting vapor, it will fall away. We all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right at the beginning of the book of Acts. We won't get into it, but they learn very, very quickly in Acts that when you lie, you think, oh yeah, no problem, everything's okay. And they learn very quickly that God judges that they will be found out. And they experienced it, and it was sent shockwaves through the church to remember that God wants as the foundation truth, because he is truth. And he's not going to build his church in Acts on lies. He says, live truthfully. And so those are part of it. Finally, Proverbs 26:25, it says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and if someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. And so what does lying do? Essentially, it sets a trap for yourself. It sets you up to fall into it and for destruction. But more than that, as we think of the big idea of deceit is the native tongue of fools, you've probably heard or think about that passage that comes up in the New Testament. And it talks about the devil who speaks lies as his native tongue, right? Because, well, God is truth. That's the foundation. We've seen this. And the opposite of that is God, or that the devil is lies. And so what happens when we lie is that we are aligning ourselves more with the devil. We speak his native language. We don't trust the truth of God, and we begin to reflect who he is. And so it makes us look like Satan instead of like Jesus. And as followers of Christ, we are called to be little Christ, to follow him, to reflect his glory to the way that he made things to the world around us. And finally, as we look at some more Proverbs, what we need to remember is that we don't have to live this way of deceit, because Proverbs is telling us, live by the foundation of truth. And so the first thing that we need to do in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, of what should the wise do as we seek to live according to wisdom and according to God's truth as the foundation of our lives. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, those who guard their mouths and keep their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And so the first thing we need to do is guard our lips, okay? But that's not just to pull up your socks, or that's not just a, okay, I'm not going to say anything anymore. That guard on our lips is hard to do, but we do need to station some, to remind ourselves to station a guard at our mouth so we don't lie, so we are honest, so we're not deceitful. But in order to do that, Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 to 21, it says this, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your innermost being, and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you, Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth so that you may bring back truthful reports to those you serve? What this scripture says right at the beginning there, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your inmost being and have them ready on your lips. It's saying you need to ingest, literally here, your inmost being is your stomach, as it's talked about there, kind of everything that you are, but part of that translation can be translated stomach. It's ingest God's word. Take it into your core, all the way to who you are. Why? So that when you speak, what comes out of your lips, we've heard this as well, what comes out of your mouth is within your heart, right? And so all the way back in Proverbs, it says, how do you keep your mouth? How do you keep a guard there? By taking in God's word of truth. By saying, his way of wisdom, that foundation of life, I need to ingest it. I need to live off it. I need to be sustained by his word so that when we're faced with whatever crazy situation or mundane situation we're going to be in every single day, what comes out of our lips is truth. That's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to live. Ingest his word. And then as it continues on, it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 to 22, when we choose truth, we're making this decision. It says, an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hands of those who plot evil. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked will have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. We need to see that right here at the end, as it continues on in verse 17, it says, an honest witness tells the truth. And then at the final one, the Lord detests lying, but he delights in people who are trustworthy, who are true and who are faithful. This is what the Lord delights in and what he calls us to. He calls us to a life of faithfulness. Now, how do we do that, though? Proverbs 28, verse 13 to 14 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. We are reminded in the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to chapter 2, verse 2, just briefly, and even as we're going to be going to communion shortly, there'll be a song before that, but even in preparation for that, as we consider these verses in 1 John, as we consider this idea of, am I living as the foundation of my life truth? Is there longevity in what Scripture, the book of Proverbs and Scripture remind us that the way of the Lord is life? Follow that. Encourages us to follow that, to live that life. Don't continue in the way of folly, which leads to death. But we can't do that on our own, and Scripture knows that. Scripture knows that every one of us here has sinned. Every one of us here, there is deceit on our lips. And if we've confessed that to the Lord, then we have received forgiveness from that. But we can also live in deceit that we think we've already arrived and there is no more sin in us, and that we don't need to confess that. But we need to bring our sin to light so that we can continue to build the foundation of, live on the foundation of truth. Or we start building this other reality. That's what happens when we lie. And so, 1 John chapter 1, here is the promise to all of us and the challenge. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. This is to people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and there's no truth in us. If we confess our sin, this is our hope. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him, Jesus, out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm going to invite up the worship team as we sing one more song and prepare for communion. So as we finish off our service of worship today, I will remind us of the words of Christ, which say, or the words in 1 John, which says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the hope we have, brothers and sisters. Go in the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus. Amen.